sitting in for Mr. Norrie tonight, and thank you, Ross. This is very interesting, very interesting. The your calls are always very interesting, and Miles said, if you're concerned about the Occupy crowd, don't be. They're running out of steam. Here's the thing. It's not that I'm behind. What I'm behind, the thing that I'm behind is the fact that they're participating. I think the Occupy Wall Street people are participating, but I warn you. I mean, this is a warning. Here, I'll even bang on the larynx. Warning. That's kind of cool. It hurts, though, later. What you're doing in the Occupy Wall Street thing is going to be manipulated by the very persons that you are complaining about. The same people who bailed out all these entities with taxpayer money are now going to start blowing smoke up your kilt about how they're with you. Oh, and they totally agree. Sure they do. They agree just as long as they need to until they're either reelected or elected for the first time. So, as Biff said, don't be so gullible, McFly. Don't be used. If you want to affect change, it's not about, sometimes you have to get your torches and your shovels and so forth and march to the palace and demand that the king abdicate, but we're not there yet. That's not how we do things here. That's how they do it in other countries. They're not as evolved as we are. We cannot descend into violence, and do not get the idea that the police and the military, God forbid, won't turn on the citizens. They will if you push them to it. The object is to do this the legal way. Now, seriously, I mean, I like a just brawl as well as the next man. Just is the operative word here. Do not allow yourself to be manipulated by forces that you are unfamiliar with. The person behind the curtain, if you want to affect change, you educate yourselves and you approach your elected representatives. I mean, approach them. People don't even want to send a letter to a senator or a congressman because they're afraid they're going to get on a list. I got some news for you. You're already on a list. Somebody very near and dear to me just came back from Europe and had the eyeball retinal scan at the departing airport. Well, that's going to go into a big database. They got your name. They got everything else about you. Anybody that's in a security service can get any information that they need about anybody, especially if they're a citizen. So direct your energies in an effective way. That's all I'm saying. Occupying retail stores and so forth, that's not going to get it. Occupy Wall Street, good idea. Not bad, but you need to be occupying the parking lots of your elected representatives with your signs. Be polite. Take the German thing. Okay? You can say whatever you want, but you must be polite. So don't antagonize. Just say your piece and be done, and if you need to say it again, then do. But, you know, don't keep doing things that are going to bring down the jackboot on your neck. Because if you push them enough, that will happen. They'll have to do it. They'll have no choice. I don't like this. I'm a realist. I don't want that to happen. Don't force the issue. Becca, in Austin, Texas, capital of the great state of Texas, on the wild card line. How wild is the card? We shall see. Becca, how are you tonight?
I'm okay, pretty wild. Actually, pretty mellow tonight. I really enjoyed what you were just saying. Yeah, I really feel the same way about the Occupy folks. They give us old protesters a bad name in a way. But I really had some questions for your guest. Is he still there? I wanted to ask
him. No, he's not.
Oh, nuts. I wanted to ask him about dark matter and dark energy. Well, I got another little...
Well, I can tell you he would not be getting into that, so it's okay.
Oh, okay.
No, he wouldn't have done.
Gotcha. No. Well, how about let's talk about someone mentioned God and the Bible and all this, and I was I'm often frustrated by both the medical the scientific world and the theological world's insistence that one cancels the other out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That since we weren't created in 6 days and we evolved, there can't be a God. You know, the scientists say, and the scary Christian right give us Christians a really bad name. You know. saying that God did it in 6 days, by God, or burn in hell, you know, that kind of thing. I was wondering, what you thought about that.
You know, when we had L.A. Marzulli on, he was with me on a show a couple of weeks ago, and I got a lot of different kinds of email. About 99% of it was positive, but some of it was really negative. And I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, "Jesus, please protect me from some of your followers."
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. The fact is that, and this man in an email went on and on about it. I mean, he was really upset about it. And I kind of felt bad because
I don't know who Larry Mazzelli is. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, you know, he's written a book called The Cosmic Chess Match, and it's you know, his studies are biblically based. But the point is that people always, I'm not going to say people always, they don't always, scratch that. People reach a level of frustration where they see all the things that have been done in the name of Christianity that resulted in blood and guts, mayhem, rape, murder, arson, all of it. The thing about it is those people are not following Christian doctrine. And anything that has the potential to have the power over people's hearts and minds has the potential to be twisted to an evil purpose, a negative purpose, a purpose that is counter to what they're teaching. So religion is just something that you do with regularity. That if you look up the word, that's what it is. He brushes his teeth religiously. You know, she washes her hair religiously. It's not as though it is a religion. It is a religion. It's regularity. That's all it means. So when we get into these theological discussions, you have to tread very carefully, because that's something that's very near and dear to people, whether they embrace it or they reject it. And you don't really want to exclude anybody with your speeches, with your discussions. If they're going to be excluded from it, then they need to exclude themselves. But we don't want to drive them out with rhetoric and spouting off doctrine that we can't back up. The agnostics, again, said this earlier, they believe that nothing is known, so they just kind of roll with it. Other people of faith, that's their glue to their reality. And everybody, it's all about choice. What's the deal with free will? I mean, if the great Almighty knows what you're going to do before you do it, then what's the point? The point is that you make the choice. And in the making of the choice, how far do those tentacles spread? What do they embrace once you've made your choice? Are you a giver or are you a taker? You can even take it down to as basic a level as that. All right, I'm spent on that one. Wild card. No, wait a minute, wrong. West of the Rockies, Tom in Santa Rosa. That's a beautiful part of the world. Are you still around? And if you are, come up on the bridge and talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me. I got to tell you, some great bumper music you got, too. I was enjoying that.
Oh, thanks. I like music.
Well, I was listening to what you were saying about Occupy, and the article I read from the UK, where she was talking about how Homeland Security coordinated the different raids on Occupy across the country, which, well, legally they're not really supposed to be doing. The military is not supposed to have any hand at that at all. And they got into also about how the mainstream media keeps saying that they don't know what Occupy wants, and she nailed some of the demands that they've been asking for, like campaign finance reform, the Wall Street bankers. Now, one of the things she didn't mention, though, that I was on a Occupy Coordination National Weekly webinar during the week, where it was a webinar on the phone, and we talked about mandatory criminal charges for the reckless operation of a corporation, and that one's getting bumped up, which I think is a good idea. But the bottom line to the whole thing is, I think it's kind of like playing dominoes, and we got the cart out in front of the horse. From what I see of this, the a documentary that won the 2010 award was The Secrets of the Wizard of Oz, and really that documentary talks about the history of how the bankers have been beaten before, where it comes back to the greenback dollar, what Ron Paul talks about, and the Fed, and you get the control of the money flow in America back to the Congress where it's supposed to be. And then you cut the strings, really, for the puppets from the legislation to the Congress and the Senate, and you can actually start to make some changes. I think strategically that's a good way to proceed. But thank you so much for letting me say all of that on air, because to try and contact Occupy camps or get your voice heard for these points is difficult. It's really, at times, almost like herding cats. I I look at this thing they're talking about doing to go out to these malls and the retail stores. I hope that turns into an educational thing just to educate the public, because the media keeps saying we don't know what they want. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm with you so much. I keep hearing it with anonymous videos and everything I've heard from Occupy. All the camps were all saying, keep peaceful. We don't want any violence. Oh, and one important issue is I did a show with Keith McKintry back in August. He's the co-founder of Food Not Bombs that feeds most of these Occupy camps. And one of the things we talked about was how a report showed it was less than 5% of the police were responsible for over 50% of the cases of police abuse, meaning that it's a small minority of the police giving the majority a bad rap, and those are the same people they put on the front lines at these protests that get all the news. So it's a divide-and-conquer thing, because really the police are a part of the 99% too. Yes, obviously there's some bad police, but there aren't that many of them comparatively.
And no, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, and Keith, the co-founder of Food Not Bombs, talked about his history of it with it over the years, where he got arrested in Orlando, and Anonymous came out for him. But even before that, you know, years ago in the 80s, he was getting arrested for feeding the homeless. And LaMisha was on it. She talked about her son was shot 48 times by 9 San Francisco policemen with the wrongful death money. She started a nonprofit. And she says, yeah, the majority of the police are really good people. It's just a few. And then there's the steroids. There's the steroid abuse. There's some of that, too. But there's a mix in it. It's not just any one particular thing. It's a combination. But the majority of these are really good, honest, hardworking people that go out to risk their lives. And I think it's really a shame the way they're just a few of them are giving the majority of them a bad rap. And when we should be trying to invite them into the Occupy movement, they're really a part of the 99%.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, every once in a while I get kind of an ugly email here, and I got a feeling it's from people that are only half listening. But the Occupy, a fellow named David is someone, and this is a piece of it. The Occupy crowd will run out of steam because it's winter and the government scumbags will attack them at their weakest. They'll either fade out and die, or they'll rise up even bigger and bolder in the spring in retaliation of the this, that, and the other that the government pulls on them over the winter months. Now get this. I'm in support of their right to assemble and their right to protest grievances that they have against this government. But I'm telling you, let's just go ahead and take this to an extreme. Let's say that they really do get, on the one hand, the very same people who are saying, you know, well, you're just not with the program. You don't understand. You're just a puppet repeating stuff that's been told. No, I'm winging it 100%. I've got a notebook and a pen here and the internet in front of me, and I just go around listening to this stuff. What I'm saying is this. If your grievances are not addressed in the correct manner, then what? You want to riot and show them how mad you are? You want to set some stuff on fire? You want to really get the cops out there and give them no choice but to hammer you? Is that what, or do we do this the civilized way? I understand that people are angry. I'm angry. I'm not exactly rolling in dough myself. I'm buying $4, almost $4 gasoline just like you are. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't understand a lot of it. I do not understand the mainstream media. This, you know, I don't think this show can be the show. A show is visual. I don't think this program can be classified as mainstream media. I really don't. We will talk about anything here, but I don't run away from, shall we say, less than complimentary emails or communications or calls or anything of the sort. Because even though you may launch one of those at me, I think that you are entitled to be responded to as with the same verve that if you supported everything that came out of my mouth. But here's the thing. There's a right way and the wrong way to do things. And yeah, this is going to wind up just like the Copenhagen thing when everybody decided, oh, we're going to descend on Copenhagen and we're going to talk about global warming. Then the snow came and they were all run off. You know, that the government is manipulating people. That's what governments do. They control them. They pull tax money out of them. They do these things. That is why we have to hold on to this Constitution, because if we ever let it go, we're done. Now, people talk about, well, in Europe and this and Europe that, really? Go over there and check it out. I'll give you one example. Switzerland. I happened to meet a man. He's not a millionaire. He's a billionaire. I don't run in circles like that. It was just chance that I met him. He's got a beautiful place up on a beautiful lake up there, and I talked to him about it and how things run. And Switzerland runs right, but it's a strange place in its in its run rightedness. For example, if you want to own any property there at all, you want to buy a little, just a little piece of land there, a little house on it like that, you have to bring something to the country. Well, I don't mean just a good attitude and a cola and a smile. And what this person did was he brought an invention there. He bought a patent and said, this thing does this and that and the other. And they said, that's really good. What are you going to do with it? He says, well, I'll set up a company here. We'll do it in Switzerland. They said, well, come on over. Well, I don't think that's exactly the same thing that we have here. We don't demand that anybody bring something to the country. The borders are wide open. We have millions upon millions of undocumented people here. So who do we talk to about that? Can't make them leave. Can't legalize them. What are they being used as? A political tool. So what are you going to do? Dan, do I need a break? Yeah, I need to break real bad, he says, or it's going to be back-to-back commercials. Please consider if my speech is, well, not too deeply, but deeply enough to come back to Coast AM when we return shortly. I got to tell you, I like this guy. I like this guy, David. He keeps sending me emails. There's a multiplier. For everybody who sends an email, there are several others that did not. I mean, it's a theoretical thing, but it seems to be true. And David's position is that the American public is behind the OWS. That's fine. I'm just saying do it the right way. Go to the legislators. This stuff doesn't happen on Wall Street without Washington, D.C. being behind it. I mean, does everybody get that? I know you do. I know you do, but not everybody does. But I was talking to David, really. I'm with you, pal. I really am. I want to see some change also. I'm just saying do it the right way. You go to the legislators and you tell them, you know what? You're going to be a pauper, just exactly like the citizens that you're pushing into pauperdom. If you don't get up there and do the job that we're telling you to do, and we're sick of this, but occupying a retail store is not going to get it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I'll say more later. Tom, did we talk to Tom in Santa Rosa? Yeah, we did. Sorry, Tom. All right, Bill in Charlotte, North Carolina on the wild card line. Are you there, sir?
Sir, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Bill. What's going on?
Oh, geez, John, thanks for taking my call. I'm glad I got on.
Me too.
Yeah, about the Occupier Wall Street thing, I think they're being a little misdirected. And how is this? A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I are out of town taking a little trip together. And we were resting in the bed and breakfast, and we happened to click on the TV, saw a little expose about our Congress and our Senate, in which it was outlined that they have no law against them doing insider trading, which you and I would get thrown under the jail for.
Nobody got prosecuted. The SEC hadn't. I don't know if anybody's been put up against the wall and had their wrists zip-tied on account of any wrongdoing up on Wall Street. Haven't heard of
I'm talking about the Congress and the Senate. Those senators that we elect, there is no law against them doing it. And it was outlined very succinctly. Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, the entire Congress and the Senate, they can use whatever information they gain through their auspices of their office to wheel and deal. In fact, I can't remember the specific gentleman's name.
Hold on just a second. We're about to take a hard break. Stay right there. I want to come back to your talking with us here when we do come back. I'm about to do the Buck Rogers robot thing. Wells in for Nori on Coast to Coast. Stand by. Thanks, Ross. I want to read you this little email real quick. John, what is a person supposed to do when they see the president shredding the Constitution and doing things that are not in the power of the executive branch of government? How far do we, the people, let this go? Thomas Jefferson laid down some ideas that say we cannot just let these acts continue until we're powerless to act for ourselves and the country we love. That's why we have the Second Amendment. Well, that's true. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. I'll tell you what you do. If you can organize an Occupy movement like this, these various places around the country? How about another million-person march up to D.C.? Could somebody put that together? Peaceful demonstration, a redress of grievances. I think that'll get you farther, because the longer this thing drags out, the more opportunity there is for things to go wrong. A little strategy is called for here. All right, we're going to take another break. I know, but we're going to take another break right now, and then we're going to have a nice long run to the top of the hour. I want to talk to Ronnie and the Jims and Brandon and Ron. I want to talk to everybody. So get ready, and let's be succinct, and let's get our point out, but let's definitely chat. And you're welcome to send your emails to, as you know, I'm reading them. Wells in Vernori, we shall return momentarily on Coast to Coast AM. All right, John D. Wells in with you tonight. Delighted to be with you, and this is a lot of fun. And Bill is still with us in Charlotte, and we had to cut him off and take a bunch of breaks. But let's finish up our part of the chat, Bill.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me back on. What I was getting at was, yes, the FCC does prohibit those things between folks like you and myself, but through the auspices of their offices, our congressmen and senators can use information that they learn about to do insider trading, and they make millions of dollars. In fact, one of the last statements on the program that we watched, the guy said, you felt kind of stupid not to get involved in it. And he actually put in a bill that would force congressmen and senators to reveal their insider trading information and what kind of stocks or options they had bought. I mean, it was unbelievable. In fact, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he came there as a congressman from a small district with $200,000 or so in his bank account, left a multimillionaire. This kind of thing kind of makes our government a little, I don't know, cheesy? Is that a good word?
Sure, it'll work.
When you have Wall Street making billions of dollars, and they're governed by our government, and yet our government is being offered, I guess, I don't want to say bribes, but offered information that they can use without any kind of repercussions to line their own pockets. And this goes across the board. It's not Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or Tea Party or anything. Anyone in the Congress or Senate can use this. And it was documented. And when they asked people about it, they became very angry. I just don't see where the Occupy movement is really where they need to be. They need to be, like you said, a peaceful million-person march in Washington, D.C., saying you need to stop taking money from these interests who are giving you information. I mean, how much influence can be done there? How much influence is being done there because of this little quirk in the law where they can do what they want with that information and make millions of dollars? In fact, there was one particular thing that stood out, and again, I can't remember the subject's name, the person's name. You can go back to November 13th on 60 Minutes and see it if you want to watch it on the internet. He actually bet on a hedge fund against the economy failing while he was working on a committee to try and shore up the economy. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yes, it is. I don't know. It's just a bloody mess, isn't it?
It is an incredible bloody mess. Something that people need to understand is, just like you said, your government will do things on one side and then turn around and do something else. And the occupiers of Wall Street, if I were to give them any advice, I'd say pull up your tent stakes, get out of Wall Street, go to Washington.
Absolutely.
Go to your local congressman's lawn.
Look, this has done they've done a great job of getting attention, but I just don't think they're taking it to the place where it'll be the most effective. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to go out on the clothesline like that, if you're going to play, at least score a goal every once in a while. And as it is, like I say, the longer it drags out, the more chances there are for things to go wrong. Listen,
absolutely.
Thank you.
There doesn't need to be any violence. There just needs to be a concerted effort on the American people's effort to say, look, we understand now what's going on. We want this to stop. We
well, more than,
all
and more
play
the
by
point,
the same rules.
They need to be saying, we know this Constitution, we have read it, and you will abide by it or we will throw you out at the very next election. You will never be permitted to even so much as run for the most minor public offices. Bill, I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much. I got to move on here, my brother, and I hope you have a happy rest of the year. Ronnie, first-time caller in Denver. Talk to us, man. Come up on the bridge and take a chair.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Johnny B.
Hey, good to have you.
First of all, I just want to, you know, commend you, George, and Ian for the stage you guys provide for, you know, all of Coast listeners. And I'd like to thank all the Coast listeners out there because as a young American, being surrounded, like, by the media and the mainstream media, it's just kind of depressing. And the stage you guys provide definitely brings a lot of hope to me, and I'm sure on a much grander scale. But I kind of wanted to just bring up what you were talking about earlier tonight, and that's the issue of chemtrails. And about 9 months ago is when I kind of stumbled upon the subject. And basically every day for 9 months, I've just through personal experience outside every day, I can tell you, I live right in the heart of Denver, and every day there's planes flying over. They make grids, and they're spraying these chemtrails, which are obviously aren't contrails because, you know, they extend from horizon to horizon. And if you stay out there and you watch them, they expand, like, into giant clouds covering the whole sky. So it's kind of frustrating, to be honest, because I'm like, not sure what to think. Like, it's definitely not just, you know, an experiment because they're doing it on such a grand scale every day, you know?
Well, let me tell you, it is absolutely all over the world. And I don't know. I would like to hear, I don't want to put any ideas in anybody's head or you know, impose any hypochondria or anything. But yeah. I noticed that within about 48 hours of a heavy spraying, I start hearing complaints. I get a little kind of scratchiness in the throat, and I hear people complain about their sinuses and talking about they've got sore throats and this and that and the other. So, I mean, we know that there's barium and aluminum oxide in it, but what it does exactly outside of weather manipulation is unknown. I mean, like I say, is it a cloaking device for what's up on top, or we're in deeper stuff than we think we are, and now we're going to have to manipulate the weather, because if we don't manipulate the weather, it's going to be worse still. You know what I mean? It's just...
Exactly.
I don't know, but I'm still looking. Hey, listen, you stay well, and thank you so much for calling. And if you get a picture of those things, send it to me at johnb@coasttocoastam.com, and I'll get it up on a site somewhere. Take care. Tom in Cestus, Missouri. Are you there, east of the Rockies?
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
Pretty good, and I've been on hold for about an hour and a half now.
I know you have. Bless your heart. Thank you for hanging in there this long. What's on your mind?
I'd like to talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement quickly.
Okay.
I'm going to give a little bit of a different twist to it. I kind of see this as, and I'm going to quote John Kay and Steppenwolf here and say that our government is now a monster and it will not obey. You could take a million man march or a billion man march, and you're going to throw out one set of crooks and put in another, and it's been going on for a long time now. And I just got one question for everybody out there, and that's this. If George Washington and John Hancock and Ben Franklin did a million-man march against King George in London, do you think that would have had any effect? And do you think there'd be a United States of America today?
Well, that's a good question, man.
When you really have to look at what's going on and say, well, the Second Amendment's there for a reason, and maybe people ought to realize that there are groups out there that are serious.
Well, yes, there are, and where the Second Amendment's concerned, as far as those firearms are concerned, I'm one of those people who believes it's better to have it not need it than to need it not have it. Although,
right.
You know, given the state of the governmental art, I'm not really sure if it wouldn't be the equivalent of, you know, fighting with sticks and stones, you know, once they roll out the heat rays and all that stuff.
Sure.
Well, first, First of all, you know, Million Man March against King George wouldn't have been possible.
No.
But if it had been, it might have been possible with enough, you know, pitchforks and shovels and torches and yelling and screaming out there to get him to abdicate. Maybe not. I'm sure you'd have had to face a bunch of redcoats no matter what. Here's the thing. I don't like to see people get hurt.
No.
I don't. Not even the ones who deserve it. I don't enjoy it. You can take the most horrible... If it happened to one of mine, of course, I don't want to party on him for 2 weeks and then send him over to the other side. But, you know, violence being inflicted on anybody to me is disgusting.
Right.
However, it is a fact of life. Violence is present in nature. We destroy the tree to build the house. We destroy the microbe to drink the water. I get all of that. But I still don't like it.
No.
And I don't want it to turn into that. Let me put it this way. If by a show of hands, so to speak, meaning our persons, if that doesn't do it, and if peaceable assembly is met with violence, then you take it to the next step. But in the meantime, we're not there yet, and I don't want this Occupy movement to turn into something that either provides an excuse to hammer them, or just through pure disorganization and lack of direction, it descends into that. And because things sometimes take on a life of their own. I don't want that to happen. I want the grievances addressed. I would like some countermeasures taken against these complaints. I want these complaints addressed, and I want the problems corrected.
You know, it's just I'm 50 years old. I see these politicians that make these promises every election. They get in there and they're the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, if we've learned anything, man, it's that don't get into a moral twist over those people because they wouldn't do it for you.
Right. Exactly. And have a good morning.
You too. And thanks for hanging in there so long. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Jim, Wildcard Line, Dayton, Ohio. Are you there, sir? Mr. Jim. Oh, man, we got a terrible line here.
Sorry about that. Is that better?
Oh, you're garbling and gurgling. Oh, Jim. I'm sorry, pal. However, we may have a Jim in Riverside, California, who may possibly channel Jim in Dayton. And then again, maybe not.
Hey,
are you there?
Going?
Hey, you California guy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you, John?
It's too good for my own good. What you got?
Hey, you know, I've been doing some research on this magnetic generation, both Googling it and on YouTube. It seems to me like it could be an incredible way to... our future in not only free energy, but in creating vehicles and who knows what to power the future. And I just kind of wondered if you'd experienced or explored any of this and what your take on it is.
Well, I got to tell you, I have a feeling that magnetism is the key to the future from the standpoint of propulsion. And many, many other things. It is one of the least understood mechanisms of the universe. It's no more understood. I mean, there are theories, but you know, you park two ships together. They're separated, but if you leave them to their own devices, before long they'll drift into each other and touch. This attractive force, whether it's gravity or whether it's a UFO propulsion, it's very interesting. I don't know about this magnetic generation device, but I'll tell you what, between now and the next time I sit in this chair, I'll find out something about it because that sounds very interesting to me. Nuclear, pretty dirty. And in fact, while we're talking about magnetism, a study was done recently that shows that if the human brain is encircled by a strong magnetic field, all the distractions drop away and the person who's undergoing this magnetic field bombardment, if you will, whatever, actually is able to have much more linear and very, very directed thought. It doesn't last long, but it is like hyper-rational, hyper-logical, all distractions gone, and it doesn't appear to have side effects. Now, if it's electromagnetic radiation, and we're going round and round about just what cell phones do to your head, I don't know what this will eventually do to your head. It might turn your head into, you know, one giant, you know, like... unmentionable and totally impossible to remove sort of a thing that's not a head anymore. It's a tumor. I don't know. The research hasn't gone far enough, and if there have been any negative effects from this sort of an experiment, I don't know of them yet. But But I'm watching it, and thanks for bringing that to the party. That was actually, that's very interesting, and I'm going to make a note to follow up on that. Brandon in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania on the wild card line. Are you still with us?
Yes.
Excellent.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. What's going on?
I have to say, I think you have the greatest voice for radio I think I've ever heard.
Well, thank you very much for that compliment, but I don't know. I'm thinking it's Ross Mitchell.
You also sound a lot like Stephen Wright, the comedian.
Well, perfect. Well, that's really more my mentality is comedic. Anyway, what's on your mind tonight?
I actually wanted to share a UFO story that
Be
I just
brief,
had
because we're almost out of time. I hate to rush you, but you're going to have to go quick.
All right. Well, yesterday I was driving through Gettysburg, and I looked up in the sky, clear blue sky, not too many clouds, and I saw a very bright, shining light. It looked almost like a star, and it was a little closer and a little bigger than a star would look, but it was just hanging there in the sky, and then all of a sudden just disappeared out of thin air.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Strange.
And where were you when this happened?
I was just driving through Gettysburg.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah. How long did you see it?
It was only maybe 20 seconds.
Good grief. That's amazing.
It didn't last real long, but it's almost like someone took a dimmer switch you would have in like your living room, you know, and just kind of dimmed it out, and it just kind of, it was gone.
Keep a camera handy and just put it with your kit and carry it with you, because you never know. You never have a camera when you need one, but keep one close by. You don't have to buy an expensive one. Almost all of them have got 5 megapixels worth of capacity now, so keep one handy. Take a picture and send it to us, and thanks very much for your call. Roger, I can't get to you. We're out of time, pal. I'm so sorry, but I'll catch you on the next one. John B. Wells sitting in for George Norrie tonight. Thank you very much, George. Dan Galante, Princess Lisa Lyon, Lex, Tim, and most of all you, the best listeners on this or any other planet, and I've seen a few of them. You have only my word for it, but I'm telling you, until we meet again, take very good care of yourselves. And remember, right-wing sounding or not, you hold on to that Constitution. For it is the doom of America that we forget. I love you people. John B. Wells, over and out.